Now we're ready, sir. Joshua 12. Okay, not going to read it in detail, obviously, especially verse 9 to 21. That's homework for next week. We'll have a pop quiz. Adam, pop quiz. You got to memorize all those names. So we'll just pick up some highlights. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised that in these sections, if we read them out loud to ourselves, even though it's just words, I wouldn't be surprised we get to heaven. The Lord says, I had health cures in those passages, if you just read those. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't have any verification of that. I do know Proverbs that says that the Bible is health to our navel and marrow to our bones. So, and that's interesting. It's health to our navel because that's, you know, where we get nourishment in the womb. And that's some of the muscle testing is from the navel. That's how you can tell. Do you know how you can tell some muscle testing? You know, take an item and put it right about here. Close your eyes. And then see if your body goes forward or backwards. So if you go backward, you're trying to get away from that so your body doesn't want it. If you go forward, your body wants that. So I tried that with the King James and the NIV, and I got the King James, and but I might have had some preconceived ideas on that. If you want to test it, try Drano, and you should go back on Drano. So, but that's muscle testing. Okay, I think I'm already ready. I'm already going, right? Joshua 12. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words, and I pray that the service at Graveside tomorrow would be a time for the family to have closure, but yet also a time where they possibly can live their lives in pleasing of thee, and that's the best thing that a child and a grandchild and a great-grandchild can do for their loved one is to stand fast in a faith, and they in heaven will be also continuing to receive rewards for our efforts down here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Joshua 11 basically got things conquered. Joshua 12, he's just going to run through a bunch of names that they did conquer. If you would, drop down to verse 4. Here's a fella. And the coast of Og. You know, how do you say that romantically? Og. His wife was probably Hogla. Remember Hogla in the Bible? Og and Hogla. Okay, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants. Okay, so that's what I wanted to point out, is that the giants were still around. This guy had a rather large bed. It's called a king-size bed. You'll see that in Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 11. And so these dudes were before and after the flood. And so it's like before the flood, there were more of them that fell, left heaven, became flesh, fallen angels. And possibly the ones in heaven saw, okay, these dudes died in a flood. They died like men. And so I think I'm going to hold off on this. But every once in a while, they have more AWOLs, one here, one there, one here, becomes flesh. And Deuteronomy 3, verse 11, for only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Reba of the children of Amnon? 9 cubits was the length thereof. So a cubit on the general sense is a foot and a half. You know, elbow to point of the finger. Usually the cubit will vary depending on who the king is. Like the royal cubit of Noah's day was, you know, 20 inches, 20.62 inches, whatever. Okay, so 18 inches, so 9 times foot and a half, 13 and a half foot bed. That's a big boy. Okay, and so I would say he's probably one of the smaller giants. I think Goliath was one of the smaller giants. Steve Quayle, who's done kind of specializes this on YouTube, and there's another fella online called Mud Fossil University. I don't know if he's a saved man, but he's of the opinion the giants were 200 or 300 feet tall. So I don't know. Okay, and that's most likely possible. The trees grew taller. I would say it's because they were built based on silicon, like in Silicon Valley, where after the flood it was changed to carbon. So that's why things are smaller, carbon and everything. That's, you know, carbon footprint and all that stuff. Okay, so this is a big guy. 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits a breadth thereof. So you can see how the word length and breadth are used. Length, breadth is what we would say width. Width after the cubit of a man. So after the cubit of a man, that I would say that's a foot and a half. Okay, so just wanted to cover that guy, Og. Okay, when you run down through in verse 7, he starts going through about the kings that they defeated. So this is just some, like, military records. Okay, and there were some amazing military records, like in World War II, about angels fighting in certain battles. But, you know, those things are pretty much kept secret. If you would try 21, the Old Testament spelling of Armageddon. Armageddon. So that's Megiddo. That's where Josiah died after he failed to realize that God can speak through a heathen. And so Josiah failed to recognize that. And Megiddo is the New Testament of Armageddon, found in Revelation 16:16. Okay, chapter 13, now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. So they got a lot more to do, a lot more land. And this is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of Philistines. So that's still fighting today. That's, you know, what's going on still today, the Philistines. And it's, I don't know why, but the Bible maps in the Christian bookstores don't ever give the entire kingdom, the entire land grant. They just give this little section of Israel where technically it runs from North Egypt clear over to Euphrates and then up to Euphrates and then back down, almost like a triangle. David had that, Solomon had that, but the maps for some reason don't do that. I don't know if they're afraid of the Muslims, but they don't really give that entire land grant. So, and then if you would drop down to verse 6, Joshua 13:6, how do they divide the land? What was the word that they used to divide the land or to refer to the parcels of land? The word lot. Lot. Okay, and then there's one other time in the Bible where fellas were fighting in a lentil patch, and it was called a plat. The plat, not plot, but plat. So if you go to the courthouse and ask them for a plat book, a plat book. That's a King James only word. And the word lot. So you have, you know, in like in a camping place or in a trailer park or some places in town, they'll call lot for that parcel of ground. And what this does, I don't say the Bible controls our speech, but it sure does influence our speech. Okay, so that's where those words come from. They come from the Bible. And another idea there is that when you have a lot or your property, or if you describe the descriptions of it, usually the meet and bounds description, where you start here and then you go here and then you go here and then you go here and go here. That's called meet and bounds. Okay, that, if you meditate on it, think about that, what does that teach us? Socialism or private property? See, the Bible is private property. These liberals, they'll say that Jesus was a socialist. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. And then they talk about being concerned for the poor. Okay, fine, be concerned for the poor, but don't make other people be concerned for the poor. And don't fight somebody for their tax money to be concerned for the poor, because which one of the apostles feigned caring for the poor? Judas Iscariot. Okay, the Bible is always voluntarily received Jesus Christ. And so in Acts 2, where it said they had all things in common, that was not forced communism, that was voluntary. And so when somebody cares for the poor, great, care for the poor. Okay, but don't force people to pay for that. That's socialism, that's communism, Nazism, fascism. There's really only two types of governments. And really the word government is a legal fiction in itself. And one is the people are the authority over government, and government is public servants. And the other is government, whatever title you want to give it, is over the people. Don't matter what title you give it. The Bible, for Israel, what was the title that God gave to Israel? We'll find it in Ephesians 2. Often it's said that Israel was a theocracy, which is kind of true, but kind of false. If it was an absolute theocracy, then the Lord would not have allowed them to have a king. Okay? You could say a theocratic republic. And Ephesians 2, verse 12, this is the legal term, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. So commonwealth, and the English language, fascinating. English language, we cut it in half. Wealth is common when people have liberty to retain the fruits of their labors. And a commonwealth is another term for republic. As in the publicans in the New Testament, you just put an R-E in front of it, republicans, okay? But even at that, okay, so the Bible clearly, and America, because of the influence of Christianity, established the liberties that we have, okay? When a Muslim, what Muslims conquer a country, they don't, but when a Muslim gets in the authority, they have freedom from religion. We have freedom of religion. Okay, and so because an atheist, the transgenders, these leftists, they have the freedom to speak against the Bible and God and America, because Christians established the right of free speech. You don't get that from any other faith. Because we're secure in our beliefs. Okay, like Jeremiah said, what's the chaff to the wheat? Doesn't matter. Okay, and so that's the freedoms we have. So when we see the private ownership of a lot, remember the saying, fences make good neighbors? Okay, and that's true. And it's funny, I've seen some guys interview people who are concerned for the undocumented, whatever they call them, you know, and they say, oh, you want these people to come in, freely come in. So we're looking for people to house them. Would you house them? These people are in line, wanting open borders. Oh, I can't do it. I got an apartment. Oh, I can't. No, I can't. Well, if why do you put a fence up? You know, they don't want them in their place. So the Bible teaches these things. Let's try Deuteronomy 19:14. So this reveals private ownership, private property. Thou shalt not steal, because somebody has a right to own something. Deuteronomy 19:14. Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark. which they of old time have said in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Look, he can still find them around where there's like a concrete corner lot thing around. And so the idea is you don't move those. If you have a post, maybe a guy will move it 10 feet 1 year and then, 5 feet the next year. And then he'll get more ground. And God is watching that. And in Deuteronomy 27, he said that person that does that is cursed. Okay, that'd be Deuteronomy 27:17. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say amen. So we have landmarks in morality, in the Constitution, and when people remove those things, that's cursed, are they? And twice it's found in Proverbs. So this is the idea that the Bible endorses free enterprise. Okay, endorses what people call capitalism. It endorses that you should be able to keep the fruits of your labors. Okay, Proverbs 22, verse 28, and then there's a parallel in 23. He says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. So with Israel, what they did is they had, every 50 years, they had what was called a jubilee. So these lots, these landmarks were set in Joshua. So every 50 years, they would go back to the restored lots. And then they, sell, buy, sell 50 years later, go back to the restored. And what this was designed to do is not allow people to get super, super wealthy so that they could buy a nation. That's what the Jubilee. Our bankruptcy laws are rooted in the laws of Jubilee. Okay, and so then 23:10 is another parallel. Remove not the old landmark, enter not in the fields of the fatherless. Okay, so basically, all I just want to point out in chapter 13 is that the Bible influences our culture by the word lot. We still use that for property. And then private property and lawful ownership is endorsed by the Bible. Joshua 13:13. When you get a double negative, you're probably going to see something negative, and the 13s run negative about 80%, 85% of the Bible. And you'll see that this is a negative thing. Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Gershurites nor the Maacathites. Okay, but the Gershurites and the Maacathites dwelt among the Israelites until this day. So they did not obey God completely. Partial obedience is still disobedience. And so that lands on 13:13. And that's a quite interesting study. If you run through the Bible in the 13s, Genesis 13:13 is the first time sinners is found in the Bible. Genesis 13 has 18 verses. Deuteronomy 13 has 18 verses. Revelation 13 has 18 verses. That's three sixes. Two of those chapters deal with false prophets. And then Genesis 13 is sinners. I mean, you can go on and on and on and that. And that influences us. It shows us that why does 13 have a negative connotation in our culture? It's because the Bible establishes it. Okay, it establishes it. In verse 22, you got that guy Balaam. Balaam, and you got his whole storyline in Numbers 22 to 25. And Balaam is going to be repeated because you'll find him in 2 Peter. You find him in Jude and in Revelation. So a lot of this is going to be repeated. We learn from history that men don't learn from history. So all this is going to be repeated. Balaam, also the son of Beor, the soothsayer, similar to truthsayer. Soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them? And that'd be Numbers 25. So we pick up on that guy. Okay, in chapter 14, you got Joshua, the son of Nun, who was a Catholic, Nun, celibate Nun, right? Yeah. Maria the Monk is a good book. Get a chance to read that one. Maria the Monk. It was a Canadian closed order nun. She went into the closed order nunnery when she was 13, never saw her mother again. When her mother came and visited her in the nunnery, they put a curtain up. They would not let her see her because she was nothing but skin and bones because of the lack of food they were giving her. And when she turned 20, she put a wedding ring on because she was married to the priest. And they can do anything they want to them. And they did unconscionable things. And when they would have a baby, they would take it down in the dungeon and baptize it, smother it, throw it in a room and put lime on it to keep the odor down. And she escaped the nunnery when she was in her mid-30s. A truck was delivering food to the kitchen, and she left a note, please leave the door unlocked, and that's how she escaped. Do people know about this? Sad. It's very sad. Okay, that's closed order nunnery. But Joshua, the son of Nun, Joshua, and notice at the end of the verse, distributed for the inheritance, to the inheritance. Now, spiritually, we can pull that into the New Testament where we teach that a born-again believer is eternally secure in Christ. Okay, but there's an inheritance we can lose. Okay, we can not receive a certain inheritance. The Jews that died in the wilderness, you know, all those millions or the thousands, actually a million of people died in the wilderness, they died Jews. They didn't lose their nationality, they died Jews. They forfeited an inheritance. And so this is what Arminians usually try to argue with people that believe in eternal security, is that they say something like, well, you believe a person can get saved and do anything they want and get away with it. And the comeback is, well, I know that's probably what you desire to do because you brought that up. But that's not the case. We don't get away with anything. Okay? But we don't lose our soul. Okay? And so the example is, I'm a child of God. And you don't lose that sonship. But we can lose an inheritance. And so the ones that died in the wilderness lost the inheritance. And so the ones that came through and followed through, they received the inheritance. If you would, try Acts 7:45. And I've shown this before, but it's always good to kind of repeat these things. Acts 7:45, if you get a Bible, maybe at Goodwill, but it's a sin to go to Goodwill. Right, dear? Repent, my dear? What? Well, I'll just write it down in here, right there. When I get a Bible and it says King James, maybe in the front or in the side, I go to Acts 7:45, and I want to take a look at that. And it says, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles. Okay, so we know that's Joshua. And the reason why it doesn't say Joshua is because it's going from Greek to English, and that's the right word. Joshua and Jesus are the same name, two different languages, like Peter and Pedro. So when they change this to Joshua, then they're not being honest. And then if they put King James on it and they still change it, they're really being dishonest because it's not King James. There's a parallel with that is Hebrews 4:8, and it also says Jesus. And John R. Rice produced a reference Bible several years ago, and he called it King James, but in Acts 7:45, he changed it to Joshua. And he didn't change Hebrews to Joshua. So that was, I felt, inconsistent. And it was obviously wrong. So that's chapter 14. So we come down And we pick up Caleb. Oh, Caleb. Verse 7. Well, verse 6, you see Joshua and Caleb mentioned, and I'm sure we all know people named Joshua and Caleb, but we don't know anybody named the 10 other spies. So in verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. And boy, he was excited. He was ready to go. And you find that in Numbers 13 and 14. And then he says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Wholly. Okay, you can see how close that is to the word holy without the W. But he says, and Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, and I'm in my Bible, I circled, as he said. As he said, believing the words of God. Can you imagine that when Caleb went out to battle? Didn't have to worry about getting killed. The Lord told me. He told me. Man, a guy earned so many medals because he wasn't afraid of anything. As I said, believe what the Lord said. And that's what the Lord told him. Numbers 14:30. These 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. I bet he was. Because Moses was 120 when he died, and his strength was not abated, and his eyes were not dim. And so Caleb, boy, he's ready to go. And he says, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Now that's a different attitude. Well, let's see 17. Different attitude than these ones in 17, these gripers, these are the woke people of the day in Joshua 17, where they were demanding a mountain. Give us this mountain. Joshua 17, verse 14. Children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people? I love his answer. Seeing I am a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto. And Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country and cut it down for thyself. Go do it yourself. That's what these woke folks need to meet here. And you put them on them like that, they just don't know how to respond. Caleb, verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou hast heard in that day how the Anakims was there. That's giants. That's some big dudes. Okay, you go back to Numbers 13, you see the Anakims were there. He wasn't afraid of them. Wasn't worried about that. I mean, like David, he brought a gun to a knife fight, and Goliath lost. And so Caleb was ready to go. The Anakims, again, giants, were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Joshua blessed them, gave Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. They would say Hebron. We say Hebron. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb. Okay, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Okay, three times, holy, 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 100% holy following the Lord. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You ever hear people say, well, we're going to get deeper into the word and things like that? You understand what they mean. And I don't think we get deeper in the word, but I do believe we get more precise with the words. It's a little bit different. Okay, in sports, the higher up the ranks a person gets proficient in the sport, they get more and more precise, more detailed, more precision. And we ought to be that way with the Bible. Jesus said, man shall live by bread alone, but by every word. So what a liberal will do with the Bible is they'll stretch it as far as they want. And if you watch this, watch how people are. When the Bible agrees with their opinion, okay, if they found something about it agrees with their opinion, they're going to be very strict with the words. But the Bible seems to go against their opinion, they'll stretch them as far as they need. Okay, and with doctrine, we rightly divide the word of truth. We're very precise in our doctrine. Okay, with instructions, we can be more loose with the instructions as far as, okay, it was said to this person, but I can still apply it to myself. And so that's where Caleb was blessed. He was given an inheritance because he wholly followed the Lord. And then in verse 15, the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Okay, the Anakims, again, that's giants. And you can cross-reference that to Numbers 13. So, okay, we got two chapters in there. We'll go ahead and stop there. Any questions or comments? Okay, if anybody is going to the graveside, and if you are going to the meal, originally we were told the meal was going to be at Signature over here by George's, but it's now going to be at Mi Ranchitos. So down to DeMont, and I'm pretty sure the cemetery is parallel with the